beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. The Constitution gives the Senate an important role, but you have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy.
Brett groped me and tried to take off my clothes. He had a hard time because he was very inebriated and because I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit underneath my clothing.
Anger, tears, and fears. We saw a range of emotions today as the Senate Judiciary Committee heard from both Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, in what could be considered a made-for-TV drama. Dr. Ford said she was 100% certain that Kavanaugh tried to rape her more than 33 decades ago, while Kavanaugh angrily denied the charges and later fought back tears. Good evening, everyone. This is the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We have a lot to talk about today. Here we are 27 years after the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings, and this one more emotional and more volatile than before. My guest tonight, our former prosecutor, Glenn Ivey, and now law partner with Price and Benowitz, Indira Hinard, executive director of the D.C. Rape Crisis Center, and Dr. Julianne Malveaux, economist, author, and social and political commentator. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
First of all, Glenn, let me ask you. You have prosecuted rape cases before. Here, this was not a court of law. One could argue, as I said in the beginning, a court of public opinion. He said, she said. From a prosecutor's point of view, how do you determine who's telling the truth?
Well, a lot of times it's just left up to the jury in these kinds of cases, and the jury determines, you know, factually who they believe is telling the truth. As you pointed out, though, this is the Senate. I used to actually work on the Senate and worked on the Senate Whitewater Committee staff during those hearings. And usually that's not what those come down to. Usually those come down to both sides trying to move their agenda forward. That's kind of what was happening here today to some extent. But, you know, I think the witnesses, especially Dr. Ford, was really sort of not connected to the agenda in that sense. Certainly Democrats were supporting her testimony, but I think she was there for just different reasons.
Dr. Malveaux, who was more credible, Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh in your view?
To me, Dr. Ford was far more credible. She was calm. She clearly was emotional, but she was also very calm. She told her story, credibly. Who knows what he said, she said, but to me she told her story credibly. And it's very difficult to say that she wasn't telling the truth. Kavanaugh, on the other hand, started out acting like the whatever that he is. I'm cleaning it up because I'm on your radio.
Thank you.
Only for you. But, you know, he came out angry and belligerent and within minutes had cut off Dianne Feinstein, which really does speak to his attitude toward women. He's a blowhard. He came off like a blowhard. Now, anybody, I'm sure that Prosecutor Ivey would agree, anybody who's accused of something is going to be angry and is not going to like having been accused of something. But his behavior was just disgusting, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I think that he went over the top. Maybe he was auditioning for a role in The Apprentice, but I think he was over the top. I think he was extremely angry. And meanwhile, Dr. Ford offered calmly. She was emotional, but she was calm.
Let me bring Indira into this conversation. Indira, you have a unique perspective when it comes to this issue. But I'll ask you still: who do you believe, Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh?
Dr. Ford, of course.
Why?
Well, you know, first of all, Dr. Ford is a survivor of sexual violence. This is such a watershed moment for sexual violence in our country. What Dr. Ford displayed today was nothing short of bravery and courageousness. And she really sacrificed her anonymity for democracy.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Kavanaugh hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. I want to know from our listeners today, who do you believe, Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh? And for those who perhaps are survivors of sexual assault, I'd like to know what your answer is to this hashtag that has been trending for the past several days. Why did I not report it? And I want to go back. Or why didn't I report it? Why didn't I report it? Your thoughts about that, Indira, because there's been so much discussion about Dr. Ford now coming forward after 36 years. Does it matter 36 years, 36 days, 36 months? Why is it so difficult to report a sexual assault?
Well, first of all, there's a myriad of reasons why survivors of sexual violence don't report an assault. One of the main reasons is because they fear that they will not be believed. I think taking that a step further is that we have to really look at the way in which trauma is stored in the body. Additionally, the way in which the brain stores and recalls trauma. It's completely normal and acceptable for survivors of sexual violence to have gaps in memory, to have delayed reporting. That is not unusual when you have exhibited an extensive trauma.
Glenn, when you're listening to what you heard today from a prosecutor's perspective, is there anything that gave you pause from either one of the two people at the center of this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, certainly for Dr. Ford, there are going to be difficulties in recalling everything that happened, but it's not just with respect to her, it's all human beings. I mean, one of the things I found out as a trial attorney, and I even now on the defense side, I see this all the time, everybody doesn't remember everything, and nobody remembers everything exactly the same way or exactly perfectly. So you can always have those kinds of issues, and whoever's on the other side is going to try and attack those, which is what we've seen here. And the Republicans especially went after the second accuser, and, you know, issues with respect to all the particulars in her story. Mm-hmm. But I really did think a low moment for the hearings here was when Judge Kavanaugh said something about essentially kind of a vast left-wing conspiracy to block his nomination, as if Dr. Ford was part of that, and also sort of ignoring a couple of facts. One is that she actually had brought this up in 2002, I believe. So if there had been some kind of conspiracy, it wasn't related to trying blocking him from getting to the Supreme Court, because nobody knew he would be here at that time. And the other thing that Kamala Harris, the senator from California, pointed out was Gorsuch, the first Trump nominee, sailed through the nomination process without running into any of these kinds of allegations. So in my view, the Kavanaugh sort of angry denunciation about a conspiracy fell flat.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the testimony today of his accuser, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. And I certainly want to know, who do you believe, Ford or Kavanaugh? Let's go to Lakeisha calling from Silver Spring. Lakeisha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you, Carol. I did watch the hearings today, and I do have to say, as a survivor myself, that I believe Dr. Ford, her story was very similar to mine, and I speak frequently with churches and schools, and many people have the same story, and it is very difficult to share that. So 36 years, 70 years, it doesn't matter. It is very difficult to share. And I think that Judge Kavanaugh did not do himself any favors today. He was very indignant and angry, and it was a more of a circus as opposed to a legitimate hearing today.
Lakeisha, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Who do you believe when it comes down to the testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee today? Do you believe Judge Kavanaugh? Do you believe Dr. Ford? Give us a call. Sid, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Sid. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Harold?
Just fine.
It's too premature for me to believe anything because nobody has been proven guilty or not. And I cannot believe, with all due respect, your two female guests there are automatically, they have a prejudgment, a judgment on, in their voice when they're automatically putting the, making her out to be the victim and him guilty. And even my wife, I'm not saying it as a male, my wife watched the trial. She even saw that, you know, Dr. Ford was like, you know, saying in this emotional way, and then she looked around the courtroom and then to get a smile when she saw her supporters there. Then she went back to being, you know, crying in the kind of tone. So I don't know why people are automatically jumping the gun into conclusion. I think it's just too early right now. You can't just, you know, automatically believe somebody. I mean, who knows right now? It's just not, we don't have enough information right now.
Okay. Indira?
Harold, you know, your caller is really out of order. First of all, I don't know Indira. She doesn't know me. We're both women who are analysts and policy wonk types who are looking at this. To just say you're two female guests is really evidence of the patriarchy that allowed Brett Kavanaugh to come in there rudely, interrupting Senator Feinstein, to come in there hollering and carrying on, to behave. I mean, anyone who was accused would be angry, but this is beyond anger. This is white male privilege and entitlement. He has been set up to have this job his whole life in his mind, and now this little high school escapade in his mind is derailing him. For the caller to say, you're two female guests, is to denigrate both of us. We're two different individuals coming from two different places. And that's what's wrong with this entire process, is that men live in a patriarchy which allows them to dismiss women.
And there are 30 seconds. Your thoughts? Oh, he basically what he was saying, he said that you and Dr. Malveau jumped to conclusions that because you're women, you automatically agreed with Dr. Ford.
No, it's not that because I am a woman that I agree with Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford is a survivor of sexual violence, and we believe all survivors of sexual violence, period.
And real quick, I mean, if Judge Kavanaugh really felt that more information was what would make the difference here, why wouldn't he answer the question when they kept asking him, would you ask the president to have an FBI background investigation done on this particular issue? He would never answer the question, and the Republicans are clearly trying to avoid that.
Yeah, and as we go to a break, I want to play this little piece of sound for you, because this is an exchange between Kavanaugh and Dick Durbin about that the investigation that has not happened.
I welcome whatever the committee wants to do, because I'm telling the truth.
I want to know what you want to do.
I'm telling the truth.
I want to know what you want to do, Judge.
I'm innocent. I'm innocent of this charge.
Stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you are on the phone, stay with us. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we're going to take your phone calls. That includes Andy in Annandale and Zora calling from Columbia. Lines are still open. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
I thought it was my civic duty to relay the information I had about Mr. Kavanaugh's conduct so that those considering his nomination would know about this assault.
That was Dr. Christine Blasey Ford today. She testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee about her accusation that she was sexually assaulted by her classmate, Brett Kavanaugh. Long before he was a judge. As a matter of fact, she was 15. He was 17 when this assault happens, according to her. Well, tonight we're talking about all of the issues surrounding this. We're talking about sexual assault allegations against yet another Supreme Court nominee. Some 27 years ago, we were playing this same scenario out between Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. Hard to believe that it was 27 years ago. My guests are former prosecutor Glenn Ivey. He's also a law partner with Price and Benowitz, the law firm here in the district. Indira Hinard, executive director of the D.C. Rape Crisis Center. And Dr. Julianne Malveaux, economist, author, and social and political commentator. I want to know who you believe and if you have been or are a survivor of sexual assault. Have you ever come forward? How long did it take for you to come forward? We would like to hear from you. Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Andy, calling from Annandale. Andy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, well, I actually did see a lot of Kavanaugh's testimony in his interview. And I got to tell you, like, I am a Caucasian male, but I do actually believe that he did it. He's guilty as hell. And I'm going to tell you why. I saw last night when during an interview, he's trying to build himself up a little too much. I mean, talk about overcompensating. But what really sent it home was when he mentioned, and I quote, "I went to an all-boys Catholic school." I mean, are you effing kidding me? That's like where they breed the most evil in the hearts of kids. If you ever had a Catholic school teacher, you would know. That is not where good people get developed. That's where they get like beaten and warped. I would not be surprised at all if it was him. However, and I'm not agreeing with the last caller. I'm not calling Ford a liar, and I'm not saying that Kavanaugh did not do it. However, there have been cases where women have actually made up these things, and I can pull up 10 articles on Google right now. Just bear with me here. It's like there are women who have actually made false rape allegations, like if it was revenge against an ex-boyfriend or husband, or, you know, sometimes they have a motive. I'm not saying that's true most of the time, or even it's probably going to be like 5% or something like that.
But let me stop you there, and thank you so much. I will say my daughter went to Catholic school. She's a great person. So, but certainly thank you so much, Indira. Quickly. Your thoughts about that? I mean, while he may make a point, this is not that point. This is a married woman, Dr. Ford, with children, having no, as far as we know, no interaction with Judge Ford in 36 years or so.
Well, so I think we have to remember a few things. One, Dr. Ford is not and should not have been on trial. The burden of proof should never be on survivors of sexual violence. The percentage of folks who falsely report a sexual crime is literally less than 10%.
Yeah.
And so I think we really, really have to remember Dr. Ford is a survivor of sexual violence, and the world is watching. Young girls are watching, daughters are watching on how and if their pain will be taken seriously, if their experiences will be taken seriously. This is a defining moment in our country right now, and everyone is watching on how Dr. Ford is being treated in this proceeding.
Dr. Malveaux, talk to me a little bit about the optics of Rachel Mitchell, the woman from Arizona, the prosecutor from Arizona, who was brought in to ask the questions for the Republican members of the Senate because they had no women in on the committee.
Well, Rachel Miller should have stayed in Phoenix.
Rachel Mitchell. Yeah.
Sorry. But she should have stayed in Phoenix. She really didn't add very much to the process. She had probably been fed the questions, but it became clear that she was majoring on the minor. She was stuck on, okay, you're afraid to fly, but you flew to Tahiti. How come? You're afraid to fly, but you flew here. How come? I mean, she seemed very petty, and she really didn't add very much. And as you see in the second round, the Republicans decide to ask the questions themselves because, frankly, again, she didn't add very much. They want to minimize the notion that they were attacking Dr. Ford, so they had a woman do it, but she didn't do a very good job, in my opinion.
What about that, Glenn? What about, tell me a little inside baseball of what the thought process was behind that, and how did it look to you?
I mean, typically when the Senate committees bring in outside counsel to do questioning, it's because there's a huge volume of material to cover and the senators are going to have trouble keeping up with it or it's highly technical. But this instance, I think, you know, she was right that you had senators who were concerned about, we're all white Republican males over here. We need a woman on here to sort of balance it out. Some of the blowback from the Anita Hill hearings, I think, informed that concern on their part. But yeah, I thought that she spent a lot of time, you know, asking questions about procedural stuff. Who did you talk to on Dianne Feinstein's staff? Like, why do we care about that? This is the Supreme Court at stake here. So, you know, I thought they kind of missed the mark, and I agree. Probably around the second round, a lot of them said, you know, we might as well just take the microphone back and try and do this ourselves because she's not really making a dent. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, too, Dr. Ford was very, I thought, well prepared and did a very effective job of making the points that she needed to make. She got a lot of good intellectual comments in there using her experience and training in the psychology field. And I thought that, you know, she was a very sympathetic figure, too. This didn't seem like that vindictive person who has been waiting all these years to get back at Brett Kavanaugh. She just seemed like somebody who would rather be somewhere else but felt like she needed to do this. Essentially, she'd been boxed into doing it. And I thought she did a good job of getting through it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Zora, thanks for hanging on. Calling from Columbia, what's on your mind?
So I believe Dr. Ford. And part of the reason was she seemed credible. Her words, what she had to say, she seemed credible. She didn't seem vindictive or petty. She said she felt this was her civic duty. This man is going up for a promotion. He is going up for the Supreme Court. He is going up and sitting on it on the highest court in this land, making laws about everything that comes before that court. He, on the other hand, while he sounded like a liar before, this time he came across belligerent and petty, entitled, and privileged. Like, how dare the Democrats? And if anything, I think it was the Republicans that came out and acted like children. They made it seem like it's a kangaroo court.
Zora, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Indira, help me with this, because one of the things that really struck me about Dr. Ford, and I'm going to oversimplify this. She knew what she knew, but she also was very transparent about what she didn't know. What she remembered, she appeared to be very, very clear. Mm-hmm. But she didn't try to, it appeared, to guess or to even create anything. How am I doing with that as an observer of something that is so horrible?
Dr. Ford showed up at that hearing as a survivor of sexual violence. She laid everything on the table. She gave all the information that she knew. And to your point, Harold, she acknowledged what she did not know. And that's really, really important. She's a survivor of sexual violence. Again, I want to go back to, we have to remember the way in which the brain stores and recalls memory. When your body experiences a sexual trauma on the level that she has experienced it, it is completely normal. She talked about when her and her husband went to marriage counseling and how this all came up, and the door, about how she wanted, I believe, to have the second door put in the
house.
For
her house, exactly.
Exactly. That is completely consistent with, you know, what a survivor of sexual violence would experience.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want you to react to this, Dr. Malvo. This is Lindsey Graham speaking from his seat.
This is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. Your high school yearbook. You have interacted with professional women all your life, not one accusation. You're supposed to be Bill Cosby when you're a junior and senior in high school. And all of a sudden you got over it. It's been my understanding that if you drug women and rape them for 2 years in high school, you probably don't stop.
He seemed, Lindsey Graham, you could argue, was the loudest voice in support of Judge Kavanaugh. And of course, you know, this week you got to get a Bill Cosby reference in.
It just that was so gratuitous. It was gratuitously unnecessary. But that's what Lindsey Graham is. He is a gratuitously unnecessary human being. He, at some point in his life, had a conscience, but he has been seduced by 45 into basically throwing his conscience out the window. When I see him, I think of his close friendship to John McCain and wonder what John McCain would say to him in this instance. McCain may not believe Dr. Ford or Mr. Kavanaugh, but he would certainly ask more critical questions and have a more critical insight to this thing. What we know here is, as Indira has said, we're dealing with a victim of sexual assault, a victim of sexual violence. You could tell from her entire testimony that this has not gone away from her. This has been something that has haunted her for the rest of her life. And that's very understandable. Harold, we talked earlier today, and I shared with you back in the day, way back in the day, when I did night radio during Anita Hill's testimony. A 72-year-old white woman called me, and she began the conversation by saying, "I'm the kind of person you might call white trash." Well, that made me extremely ashamed of myself, although I do call people white trash from time to time when they are. But she went on to talk about how she had been sexually assaulted daily when she was working for a white woman in the South as a housekeeper. And she said she had never told anybody until she called my radio show. She said she could not tell her husband, but he always knew there was something wrong with her. She put it as, when we were intimate, she said she could not tell her daughters because she couldn't look anyone in the eye and say what had happened to her. I thought of that woman when I watched Dr. Ford, and I just think that Lindsey Graham is being more partisan than human.
Mm-hmm. Before I go to the break, I want to ask Glenn this question, because this is a thing that I really find, you know, fascinating. We have 11 state representatives from Maryland, all of them Democrats, all of them in Montgomery County. They are calling for the Montgomery County Police to investigate the allegations that Christine Blasey Ford has made. Good idea, bad idea. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't hold your breath on that one, I think, for a variety of reasons. One is that it's been a very long time ago. There's some discussion about the absence of statute of limitations on sex offense crimes in Maryland. But keep a couple things in mind. Number one, both of them were juveniles at the time. So it's not even clear if they were able to move forward with some kind of investigation or prosecution, whether it would be made public. And, you know, we had this conversation a few days ago. What were the laws back then? Because you have to follow the laws from 36 years ago about prosecuting juveniles as adults and those sorts of things. And the laws are different now. You know, I think it's went from first and second degree to sex offenses instead of some of the old common law charges that they used back then, too. So the one big one that I thought kind of got in the way was there's uncertainty about exactly where this happened. And so it's this Chevy Chase. I think it was pretty clear. But I'd heard mixed things about whether it was Chevy Chase, Maryland or Chevy Chase, D.C., which doesn't matter in the Senate hearing, doesn't matter as to what, you know, happened in that room. But from the standpoint of prosecuting a case, you've got to do it in the right jurisdiction and you've got to prove you're in the right place beyond a reasonable doubt. So I think there's a lot of reasons it won't move forward, and that's just a few of them.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this discussion. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kavanaugh, Ford, the Senate. It has been a remarkable day. We'll be back in just a moment.
Or 2-2.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with Christine Blasey Ford becoming public, front and center, with her accusations of sexual assault against Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court nominee. During the break, Indira, you were talking about I think more than the optics of this, yeah, where you had the GOP senators, all white men, and I said, how did we get here? It was the same kind of situation before, but before it was the entire committee.
Yeah.
27 years ago with Anita Hill, but with the GOP committee members still all men, mm-hmm, all mm-hmm, white guys, and then they have to bring in, you know, Rachel Mitchell, because it just looked dumb. That's the only way to put it. It looked dumb. Yeah. Talk to me about what you were saying,
well,
during the break.
A couple of things. One, just because you hire another woman to answer the questions for Dr. Ford does not mean women are sympathetic to other women. And I think that was a definite misstep. Mm-hmm. What we wanted was someone who was survivor-centered, trauma-informed, who had significant and intentional experience in working with survivors of sexual violence. The questioning, or rather cross-examination, of Dr. Ford was so painful to watch, and anyone with the heart, you know, their heart was wide open. Point two is the Senate Judiciary Committee operated in very uncharted territory. This is the first time ever where they were centering the lived experiences of sexual assault survivors. It required them to go beyond their traditional process and protocol and usher in a level of empathy and delicacy as it related to survivors of sexual violence. What we saw in the question of Dr. Ford today was a travesty. It was painful. The nation's heart hurt today. And, you know, she really showed up, not just as a survivor, but she showed up as a hero. Because what has also happened is that she has given other women the courage to come forward. And to also to really tell their story and share their story, because what we know to be true is that when you bear witness to someone else's story, sometimes that can give you the courage to, mm-hmm, speak your own truth. And so many women stood in their truth. You talked earlier, Harold, about the hashtag Why I Didn't Report.
Yes.
So many people came out to talk about why they didn't report, to really, you know, give their reasons. And it's a myriad of reasons. But the number one thing we saw on social media was because their fear of not being believed, their fear of being treated the way we have seen Dr. Ford be treated.
And you know,
we live in a patriarchy. We have to wrap our brains around that. And it's hard to wrap your brain around if you're male. But the fact is that we live in a patriarchy. What does that mean? It means men first, women second. Men at the center, women at the periphery. And so
there are cases where a woman speaks up and she is told, but he's such a good guy. You don't want to ruin his life. You don't want to ruin his career. I imagine that Dr. Ford, back at 15 years old, had that tape running in the back of her mind. We have had so many cases. I mean, when I was a grad student in Boston, there was a case where a black man, actually a colleague of mine, Glenn Lowry, knocked this woman down some stairs and beat her with, in the court case, his unshod foot. He, at the time, was a potential nominee for President Reagan. The conversation in Boston was, but he's so brilliant. Okay, he beat some child with his shoes on, kicked her with his shoes on, but he's so brilliant. And so always people want to come up, as Brett Kavanaugh did himself, talk about all the good things they've done. Good people who do good things also do bad things. And that's what was missing from this conversation.
Sorry, just one other point I just want to say. We have to remember Dr. Ford was 15 years old. She was a child. And so, you know, we have to remember, you know, there was a significant age. You are expecting a child, a teenager, you know, to, you know, come forward and operate almost, you know, as if something. And so we have to remember the time. We have to remember the age and what it means to be sexually assaulted as a child.
Yeah. Glenn, I want to go back to another point about the politics on Capitol Hill, because I said earlier I called it dumb, and this is not an oversimplification, but it just seems to me that the GOP leadership said, we don't have a woman, we need a woman, let's go get a woman to ask questions. You made a comment earlier, you know, that maybe these situations are too complex for these U.S. senators to handle. I was about to say yes, because they're U.S. senators. and you know, but now I don't think that's so funny, because, again, didn't anybody think about how bad it would look, particularly when it appeared that the Democrats on the other side were so sensitive, the women and the men, in talking to Dr. Ford, even though obviously they were supporting Dr. Ford. Why is it that didn't somebody think about that decision?
Is that a real question, Glenn?
It really is, because I expect more from strategists like a Ted Cruz or a Lindsey Graham or even Mitch McConnell, who was not in the room but certainly had a hand in it.
Well, it turns into a looking out for number one scenario. So Senator so-and-so, a Republican on the committee, is like, wow, I'm uncomfortable grilling this woman on TV, and I think it'll have negative impacts for me back home when I have to run for re-election the next time around. So they're not really worried about sort of the overall optics primarily. They want it, number one, is self-preservation. Number two, I think they already had the committee. They had 11 white males on the committee. That was determined 2 years ago when the committee was formed. You can't just ship in a senator, you know, just for the day. We'd rent a senator, I guess, for questioning or something. This was as close as they could get. And so they brought her in and hoped that they could get by that way and avoid some of the type of blowback that the senators got, all of them, frankly, during the Anita Hill hearings. I think, for example, you know, Joe Biden would trade anything to be able to wipe that off off of his resume. I think it was one of the low moments for him in his, I don't know, 60-year career. And I think these GOP senators were worried about that. Then finally, I think the GOP overall is definitely worried about the midterm elections. I think they're concerned that things have been going against them because of Trump anyway. They've got a good economy and a lot of things going in their favor, completely overshadowed by Trump and his bizarre, chaotic activities. And so I think there's definite concern about how can they try and minimize that so it doesn't hurt them in the election. Mm-hmm. I don't think they accomplished that today.
Dr. Malvo,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to ask you, outside of the polarized base of Democrats and Republicans,
whose minds were changed today, if any?
I think that people who were at the cusp were may have had their minds changed by Dr. Ford. I think she was extremely persuasive. She was very dignified. She didn't lose her temper. She did clearly, she was moved. She was emotional, but that was to be expected. But she was not belligerent. It was clear that she didn't want to be there, but that she came, that no matter what that Rachel lawyer threw at her, she was able to respond to. I would think that people who had not made up their minds might be leaning towards her. I think that entitled white men, and that's not all white men, entitled white men might be leaning toward Kavanaugh because he behaved like an entitled white man. But I think that anyone who has a sister or a daughter or a mother or a wife listening to that woman would have to have second thoughts. I'll tell you, the moment for me, and I was glued to the TV all day, I'm supposed to be writing, haha. But the moment for me that was perhaps most pivotal was when Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy had a tear rolling down her face. This is the effect that hearing this has for people who not only are survivors, but who know survivors. They know what it cost this woman to come forward. She wouldn't do this for a political agenda. She wouldn't do this because she had nothing else to do. This cost her. It cost her her home. Her family is fractured. They're living all over the place. But more importantly, it cost her the pain of remembering this. And so the other part that really moved me was when they asked her, what do you remember the most? She remembered them laughing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that mm-hmm. really said a lot. You know, she didn't say she remembered what color her bathing suit was. She remembered them laughing.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all of you, Glenn Ivey, Indira Hennard, and Dr. Julianne Malvo, for sharing in this conversation. There's supposed to be a vote tomorrow. That
yeah, right.
could change the last that we've heard. Mm-hmm. There was supposed to be a vote at 10 o'clock. We'll have to find out whether or not that happens, and we will continue to keep you updated as this issue changes literally, not day to day, hour to hour, but literally minute by minute. Thank you all so much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Harold. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, September 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.